could always use my teacher voice.
I think it's very appropriate to have a baptism on Christmas because, in a sense, we're celebrating what the Lord Jesus, what was begun at Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." And of course, that giving, in a sense, started at Bethlehem when the Son of God was given to the world. The angel said to the shepherds that unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you is born a Savior. But as the song says, it's about the cross. That's what Christmas is really about, because the Lord Jesus was given in a sense at Christmas, but he was so much more given on the cross when he was given as a sacrifice. And again, back to John 3:16, that it says the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And these two brothers who are going to come and tell you what's happened in their lives have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they now have everlasting life. The water that they're going to be baptized in doesn't have anything special about it. It's simply a picture of what's happened to them. Because the moment they trusted the Lord Jesus, they were buried. They died with the Lord Jesus. And they were buried with him. And they rose again. Now, I didn't see it happen. They didn't feel it happen. But we know it happened. Because that's what the Word of God says. And as they go down into the water and come back up out of it, they are showing that there has been a complete transformation. 1 Corinthians says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The two young men that are going to come down are not the same people who were born to their parents. They are new creations. They, because their old man was unredeemable. My old man was, and in fact, all of us. There's nothing good about the old person. But as I died and was raised again with the Lord Jesus, I was given a new nature. And that baptism is going to picture. So the first person we'd like to welcome down, I'm going to see who shows up on the screen so I make sure I get it right. I can choose. Okay, good, because Joel said he wanted to go first. First person is going to come down and show you what's happened is Joel Del Rosario.
Water's not cold. Well, good morning, Fairhaven, and Merry Christmas. And to those of you who I don't know, you're going to find out more about me than I will about you in the next 2 hours. Oh, in the next 2 minutes. I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry. Well, good morning. My name is Joel, and like most Fairhaven kids, I was raised in a Christian home. As a child, I knew my parents were believers and that my sisters were following the same walk with the Lord. Although I did not know and I didn't understand what saved meant to a Christian, which is being saved from hell, I only knew it had to do with believing in Jesus and God. I struggled with lying, cheating, arguing, and being disrespectful to my siblings and parents. Some days my parents would ask me, "Joel, do you respect your instructors and elders outside of the house?" And I would say, "Of course I do." And then they would always follow up with, "Then how come you don't respect us here at home?" I would often fight with my sisters over the most trivial things like, who ate the last piece of pizza? Or who ate my special whatever it was, really. I just always assumed that arguing, blaming someone else, or lying my way out of things was the best strategy to win the battle. I later learned that the reason I had no respect towards my family is because I did not respect and fear God. Towards the end of 7th grade, I discovered a Koinonia, a Christian summer camp in the Santa Cruz Mountains, through a sale that Fairhaven was holding for junior high camp attendance. The story was that if I had not been for my parents, who signed me up without telling me until 3 weeks before junior high camp, actually this is what happened. It was a normal day and I was doing my laundry and I walked into the parents' room and my mom was like, "What are you bringing to Koinonia?" I said, "I'm not going to Koinonia." And then she said, "Yes, you are." And I was like, "But I didn't sign up." And then she said, "Oh, don't worry. We signed up for you." But anyway, If it weren't for my parents, I would not have been able to meet my wonderful cabin leader who helped kickstart me onto the right path with the Lord. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Koinonia was completely different from what I had initially expected. To me, it was the most nature-filled place I had ever seen where I was surrounded by God's presence constantly. My cabin leader shared the verse, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I had heard the verse many times before, but this time I began to think about what God was telling me through this verse, and that was when I came back to reality. I knew in my current state that I was headed towards hell, and on that day I realized that I needed Christ as my Savior. I asked my cabin leader to pray with me that my sins would be forgiven through the death of Christ in my place, and that the Lord would cleanse my heart and help me to learn to serve Him. After that week at camp, I thought everything was going well, until I slowly began drifting back into my old ways. My habits of lying, cheating, arguing, and worse things, which I now view and discuss, became my reality once again. I thought I could be independent and succeed myself, but every night I was burdened with the weight of failure. It was not until my second year at Koinonia that I was reminded of the verse, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." I realized then that I could not accomplish anything on my own without a firm foundation, that foundation being Jesus Christ. Since then, and by the grace of God, I am prone to admit my faults and heed correction when an argument arises. I'm beginning to respect my family more and more because I understand that I answer to God and not only those placed above me. And my ability to do the work that is given to me is improving every day. It's really a blessing. And to know that in return it pleases God to see that I'm doing the work that she has given to me. I now wake up with a fresh mindset and the knowledge that God is with me at all times and am constantly encouraged to do my best in everything, just as Paul says in Galatians 6:9. "Let us not be weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we faint not." I am here today not to show that this water is what saves, as it is your belief in Christ that saves, but I am here to illustrate what Paul describes in Romans 6:3 and 5. "Do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were also baptized into his death? For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection."
Charlie Dientelli. I grew up in a Christian home. I was with good parents who raised me to follow Christ. But when I was younger, I didn't want to do that. I wanted control of my own life. I was living a sinful life. I was a jerk to my family, and especially my brother. We were constantly fighting and arguing, and we just didn't get along. And this destroyed my relationship with my family. I was constantly lying and deceiving my parents, and I was very lazy. I wouldn't do school and other responsibilities that they gave me. I tried to look good at church so that people would think I was a Christian. And through all this, I just made a whole bunch of fake professions, but none of them were real. I just wanted to avoid hell. I would say all the right words, but none of them were real. I knew they weren't real because I never had the courage to tell anyone of these professions of faith. One verse always came to mind. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I knew what it meant, but I didn't really know what it meant to fall short. Years passed of this until January 11, 2011, when my father was talking to me because I had just gotten into trouble for being lazy. He told me that I needed to deal with the problems I had, especially lying. He explained that Christ died to save me. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. After my dad was done, I went up to my room to think. And I just stared in the sun for a while. I thought about what my dad had said and how I was living my life. I felt convicted of my sins and realized that what I was doing before was wrong. And it was just corrupting my integrity. So I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me for dishonoring him and my parents and for being a phony at church. I asked him to become my savior and take control of my life. And I knew it was real because the Holy Spirit gave me the courage to tell others. So I went and told my parents and siblings and close friends, and I couldn't wait to go to church and tell others. And after I did, I felt both happy and relieved that I had done that. After that, I finally knew what it meant to fall short, which means that I could never meet God's standards of perfection. I started noticing mental and spiritual growth. Spiritually, I started taking my own quiet times in the Word of God, and more seriously, and would have my own. And soon after that, things started to make sense because I understood more of the Bible. It was encouraging for me. Also, there was a great amount of personal growth. I was trying to be more respectful to my parents and siblings. I started to repair my relationship with them. I also worked on my problem with laziness and obeying God's word. Sometimes I still get tempted to fall into sin, and I do sometimes. But now I have the Holy Spirit on my side. One verse that helps me is Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. It helped me to realize all of my troubles, to release all of my troubles and give them to God. Because of this, I could overcome temptations. Like when my mom leaves the house and she leaves her computer on, before I was saved, I would just go and watch YouTube videos instead of doing school. But now I'll call her and tell her to turn it off, and that I'm turning it off, and I'll make sure she knows that I did. I also had problems with doubts after I got saved. Sometimes I was not sure what I believed was true. And one night, my brother encouraged me to find out for myself if what I believed was true for me, but I didn't really do anything about it then. Till about 2 years ago, I asked God to help me. And soon after that, I felt my friend was having some problems, so I called him, and he was having some big problems in school. I was able to pray for him about that, and it was the first time that I felt the Holy Spirit was using me to help others. And then it was the first time. I helped a boy at Awana's. And one day after church, he came up to me and he said that he had just gotten saved, and that words that I had said to him was one of the key factors of him getting saved. And this just shut down doubts that I had at the time. God continues to work in my life and builds me up, especially through Awana's. I am a junior leader there, and I'm helping lead some of the high school studies. And I feel that the reason that I'm leading some of these studies is that I was faithful with the little things God gave me to do. Therefore, He was giving me big responsibilities. The reason I'm getting baptized was because of the movement from the Holy Spirit when we had the baptisms in November. I just decided to stop putting it off and just obey the word of God.
So let me ask you a question. Thinking back to what you had and all that you have now, the encouragement for the word of God, meeting the Holy Spirit, for 3:16, did you see that for you? Let me ask you another question. Are you possibly Lord Jesus Christ in this age for 100 points and nothing else to see you in your service? This is one of the questions of faith. How do you know you are God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Tell you, it takes a lot of courage to get up here for some of them, and I appreciate that. Let's just pray for the two of them. Father, we thank you for Joel. We thank you for Charlie. Thank you for watching them grow up here at Fairhaven.
Father, we thank you for the work that we've seen you do in their lives. Father, we thank you for using them. Thank you for using sinners to do your work, Lord. And we confess then that the power must be from you. Father, we want to pray for them now as they go forward. They have publicly, Lord Jesus, identified with yourself. They have drawn a line in the sand and said, I am the Lord's. Father, I pray that you would help them to continue to grow as we know you will, Lord. You say that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we look forward to seeing what that looks like as they grow older. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, help them to be good servants of your body, using their spiritual gifts. Lord, we pray that they would grow strong in you and be used mightily of you. Father, we thank you again for them. We thank you most of all for your Son, who's the reason that they're here, that all of us are here. We pray all these things now in his name. Amen.